is KGNU Mornings. This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Friday, October 1st. I am Rosanna Longo-Better in for Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, a coalition of active citizens and organized organizations working for clean energy in Boulder, Empower Our Future, will host two climate and energy forums with Boulder City Council candidates. We'll also look at how getting rid of marijuana-related criminal records is a social justice issue. It's the first Friday of the month, so we will be bringing you the latest edition of Nature Almanac. At 8:30, Connections comes your way. Host Kathy Parbridge will look at why women across the country are preparing to mobilize this weekend. Then at 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative will bring you an eclectic mix of music until noon. All that is still coming up, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Stacy Johnson.
The Boulder County Clerk's Office approved yesterday the revised petitions from 9 people seeking to recall 3 Boulder Valley School District Board members. The recall committee now has 60 days to collect 15,000 signatures for each petition. If enough signatures are submitted and verified by the Boulder County Clerk's Office, a recall election will take place. The petitioners are seeking to recall Kathy Gephardt, Richard Garcia, and Lisa Sweeney Moran based on their decisions and actions concerning the coronavirus pandemic, including the requirement for facial coverings. According to the Daily Camera, the petitions were originally filed in September and were revised to incorporate the written responses from the board members. The Daily Camera reports the estimated cost for a recall election in Boulder, Broomfield, and Gilpin counties is about $670,000. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration has cited JBS Foods, Inc. for 8 safety violations stemming from the death of a Greeley plant worker who fell into a vat of chemicals used to process animal hides. The company is also facing close to $59,000 in fines. The Greeley employee was killed on March 27th while trying to install a paddle wheel used to churn chemicals. According to the Greeley Tribune, OSHA investigators issued the citations earlier this week and determined JBS failed to adequately secure a trolley and hoist that were used to lift the paddle wheel. The company has 15 business days from the receipt of the citations to comply, contest, or request a meeting with OSHA officials. Vandals damaged and defaced the property of a Boulder Catholic church early Wednesday morning. The Boulder County Sheriff's Office is investigating the vandalism, which includes spray paint graffiti conveying a pro-choice abortion stance. Other damage includes slashed tires, broken stained glass, and smashed eggs on buildings. According to the Denver Gazette, the Sacred Heart of Mary Catholic Church in Boulder had set up crosses on its front lawn last weekend in recognition of abortions performed daily. As part of the vandalism, church officials found many of the crosses ripped out and spray painted. Sheriff investigators believe several people were involved with the vandalism. Earlier in September, the Louisville Police Department reported the St. Louis Catholic Church was vandalized, with abortion graffiti defacing church signs, entry doors, and walls surrounding the building. In 2018, drilling leases on 58,000 acres of public land in Colorado were awarded without proper environmental review. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
Oil and gas leases on the public lands in northwest Colorado were awarded by the Federal Bureau of Land Management without adequate consideration for air quality and wilderness protections. The BLM used an environmental assessment from a 2017 lease sale instead of developing a new one, and they used a 2015 version of the model to determine air quality impacts. The Colorado Sun reports that U.S. District Court Judge Marcia Krieger was asked to void the leases. She instead ordered corrective action by the BLM based on current air quality and wilderness studies in the area. The lawsuit seeking to void the leases was made by the environmental groups Wild Earth Guardians, the Center of Biological Diversity, Rocky Mountain Wild, and the National Park Conservation Association. Judge Krieger said that the BLM overlooked evidence that leasing would result in greater particulate emissions. Modeling was available to assess the impact of particulates from coal-fired power plants and oil and gas operations, but was not used. The BLM is reviewing the decision to determine next steps, but added that no permits for drilling have yet been issued. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Seven construction trade associations filed a lawsuit yesterday against the City of Denver, Mayor Michael Hancock, and Robert McDonald, the executive director of the city's health department, over the city's vaccine mandate. According to the Denver Post, the trade organizations are seeking to block the vaccine mandate for private construction workers who work with the city. The lawsuit argues construction companies should not be required to enforce the city's mandate on its workers. The Denver Post reports the trade associations claim the city's mandate will deplete contractor workforces, resulting in delays and higher construction costs. The lawsuit also notes many people of color work in the construction industry who may be, quote, vaccine hesitant due to mistrust of the government. As the deadline for Denver's COVID-19 vaccine mandate loomed yesterday, the city's dashboard showed 98% of the city's full-time employees were in compliance by submitting a proof of vaccination or were approved for exemption. According to the Denver Gazette, city employees now not fully vaccinated or exempt as of yesterday's deadline will be subject to disciplinary action, including termination. Today's weather for the upper metro Front Range includes partly sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s. There is a chance of showers and thunderstorms starting late this afternoon and into the evening. Tonight's skies will be mostly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s. The current temperature outside the Boulder studios is 45 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacy Johnson.
You are listening to KGNU Morning Magazine. Climate and social justice organizations have come together to offer city council candidates a forum to discuss what they will do about climate and energy, given the key role they have in Boulder's response to climate change. I spoke with Chris Hoffman, an active member of Empower Our Future. What motivated you to set these two important forums with the city council candidates?
Thank you very much for having me. I've been involved with our group Empower Our Future for a long time, and we have been active in working for clean energy and local clean power for Boulder for many years. For the past year, since January, we have been working with doing more public outreach around the issues of climate and energy, and we've been holding these online forums or online Zoom webinars about climate and energy, and we've had many of them. The most recent one was with Dr. Peter Lilienthal talking about microgrids. That was in August. And I gave a talk back in May about national climate legislation, and we've had a deep dive into clean community choice energy with Representative Hooten. We started off the year with a review of the work that Holy Cross Energy has done on their journey to 100% renewables. And with the really important city council election coming up, we thought it would be a public service to the community to offer a forum for the candidates and the community to get to know the candidates with a particular emphasis on climate and energy issues.
So you are planning this candidates forum for which days, and how are you going to be tackling this topic that is urgent?
For the logistics, they are happening. There are two forums because we have so many candidates for city council. So on Thursday, October 7th, and Monday, October 11th, and both of them start at 6 o'clock and go for 90 minutes. We call our programs Empower Hour, but because of so many candidates, they're actually an Empower Hour and a Half.
I'm speaking with Chris Hoffman, active on the steering committee and communications team of the EOF. What's the EOF?
Empower Our Future, which is a coalition of active citizens and organizations working for clean energy here in Boulder. It's essentially an ongoing team of active citizens that have been working on this for 10 years now. And that if people are interested in attending one or both of these, the registration link is up on our webpage. So that is empowerourfuture.org. And they just need to click on events, and it will take you to a registration link. And you can register for one or both.
Why is climate justice and climate issues the top priority?
If we don't get climate right, all the other things that are important, voting rights, right of choice for women's control over their own bodies, all the social justice issues on a fried planet, we can't accomplish those other goals until we make sure that the planet is safe. And then we have the news from the most recent report from science saying that the condition of the climate right now is what they say is code red for humanity.
The 10 candidates that are running for city council, do they have a background in climate?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm actually looking forward to the webinars because it will give me a chance to get to know the candidates better. And we have some very good questioning. We won't reveal the exact nature of the questions, but we are going to be telling the candidates that we are going to be asking about their priorities, about the built environment, about transportation, and about air quality and justice issues.
Since you mentioned that the most affected communities, when we talk about climate crisis, are mostly underserved communities, low-income communities. From the candidates that are running, who do you think will represent these minority groups that are the most affected?
That's a great question. And our role here is right now as a community service. And so we're trying to be strictly nonpartisan and just presenting this to the community and then letting the community make up their minds. I have been active in politics, and I have not made up my mind yet, and I'm actually looking forward to learning more about the candidates at these forums.
These two forums that you're offering to the community are much more concentrated around climate justice. Why is this urgent? What's at stake if we don't address climate as the priority when we decide which candidate will be the best to address these issues?
As I look at it and I read the science, it looks like our time is running out to be able to make a significant difference. And we know that there is still opportunity, and we know that the technologies exist and the ideas exist, but it's really a question of political will to make the hard choices. And the longer we wait, the more difficult the choices will be. All the wonderful things we enjoy about living in Boulder as a result of previous city councils and previous citizens taking action and making decisions, campaigning for these amenities that we take for granted.
What's at stake if we don't elect people that are really into protecting our surroundings and keeping that in mind?
Well, we stand to lose a lot. Our wonderful open spaces and natural areas around the city of Boulder and the other species that we share the planet with are just being threatened by our encroachment and our production of a lot of waste, make less waste that causes less pollution. We could stop destroying habitat so that the other beings on this planet can live and survive and thrive. We're all in an interdependent web, and we need to act with respect to all of nature.
How can people attend these forums?
That's a great question, and thank you for asking it. The dates, once again, are Thursday, October 7th, and Monday, October 11th, both of those at 6 p.m. It will be online via Zoom, and people can register by going to the Empower Our Future website. That's empowerourfuture.org, and click on events, and there will be a link that you can use to register for one or both of the City Council candidate forums.
Thank you so much. I have been speaking with Chris Hoffman. These two forums, Empower Our Future, will be happening October 7 and October 11 at 6 in the afternoon, and people are invited to attend and participate and ask the hard questions to people that are running for City Council. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Unequal enforcement of marijuana laws within the United States has left some with lasting criminal records and others with booming business opportunities in the cannabis industry. Marijuana may now be legal in Colorado, but many residents are still living with criminal records linked to possession, use, or sale of cannabis. It's a lasting legacy of the war on drugs that has disproportionately affected people of color. Clearing cannabis convictions is a somewhat complex legal process, but some organizations and cannabis companies are dealing with it as an equity issue. The Interfaith Alliance of Colorado will co-host a record-sealing clinic with Expunge Colorado and Second Chance Center tomorrow in Aurora. Boulder-based cannabis company Terrapin is also supporting efforts to expunge criminal records related to marijuana convictions as part of a week of action and awareness by National Expungement Works. KGNU's Shannon Young got the details from Peter Marcus, Communications Director of Terrapin Care Station.
Can you start off by giving us the backstory on the National Expungement Works campaign?
Yeah, so it started as a National Expungement Week. This year it changed to National Expungement Works, Week of Action and Awareness. It's not specific to cannabis necessarily, but it is so important to cannabis legalization. You know, when we're talking about legalization, the initial intent was, of course, to right the wrongs of a failed systemically racist drug war that disproportionately targeted Black and Brown individuals, more so, four times more so than white counterparts, even though consumption is at the same rate. There's little doubt that there was inequities in the drug laws. Now it's time to right those wrongs. Now that we have legal cannabis. And one of the most important things we can do right off the bat is address expungement, which is why we're talking a lot about expungement this week. But really, it's more than that. You know, just because you expunge someone's record doesn't mean that you're providing opportunity. So what are we doing to actually provide opportunity for access to this new burgeoning cannabis industry so that we have a fair level playing field?
How does the process of expungement work? Can you just take us through the steps?
Sure. Every state, of course, is different. In Colorado, there are forms that you can fill out and submit those to local prosecutors to actually get your expungement started. Some of the expungement fairs that take place help individuals with filling out those forms. Lawyers will be provided for free as volunteers, things like that. But also what we're really hoping to push for is start to move towards what's known as auto expungement, where prosecutors themselves will start to comb through records to expunge. Some local municipalities are doing that. It is a lot of time and effort to do that. So it takes time, it's resources, there needs to be state funding to help prosecutors with doing that. But we do hope that over time, we'll start to see more and more auto expungements.
And when it comes right down to the specifics, where does Terrapin fit into this? Is it through providing legal support to people who are seeking to expunge their records? Is it more high-level lobbying? What's being done?
All of the above. We've, you know, participated by sponsoring and supporting expungement fairs. We're actually supporting some in Michigan, where we also have operations this week. In Colorado, we started with a group. We're founding members of The Color of Cannabis, and The Color of Cannabis provides workshops for the BIPOC community to learn about the cannabis industry, to find the ins and outs from experts that are already working in the cannabis industry. That's where we come in. We are directors, whether it's marketing or it's PR or it's compliance, accounting. We'll provide our experts who already work in the industry to workshops provided by The Color of Cannabis. We teach courses about that access to the industry, and then also encourage students who go through the program to reach out to us. We provide contact information. Those can blossom into a mentor protege type of relationships. Beyond that, we're also founding members of the Cannabis Impact Fund. It's a group started by Kind Colorado, a Colorado-based corporate social responsibility focused firm in the cannabis space. Cannabis Impact Fund is leveraging dollars from cannabis companies such as ours, such as Terrapin, to get the word out, to support nonprofits, to help with expungement, to help with access to capital, and really just to create that awareness about that uneven playing field, about the fact that, you know, this industry has primarily been dominated by white businessmen and hasn't seen the sort of equity that we've been looking for. And so by raising that awareness and talking about the issue and really putting pressure on other cannabis companies to take action, we hope to lead by example.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that I didn't touch on with my questions?
I would like to add that this is a call to action for the cannabis industry. We've seen this industry fall woefully behind in its responsibility to lead by example. We want to see companies putting their money where their mouth is, but also their resources in terms of volunteering experts and actually working with minority suppliers and vendors. So, you know, during this week of highlighting the issue of inequity in the world, but specifically in the cannabis space, let's actually put our words to action.
Peter Marcus is Communications Director of Terrapin Care Station. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Shannon Young, for that report. It's October already, and in this month's edition of Nature Almanac, Boulder County Nature Association naturalist Steve Jones and Scott Severs search for autumn spiders and other creatures among the tall prairie grasses at Boulder's Sawhill Ponds.
It's October. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder naturalists Steve Jones and Scott Severs.
We're at Sawhill Ponds here in eastern Boulder County, and there are areas of native tallgrass prairie on the south side of Sawhill Ponds. It's early in the morning, so we're going to look for just that shimmer where the sunlight hits these webs. It's quite beautiful.
Oh, wait, there's a web right up about 10 feet in front of Steve.
It's a flat, flowing web on top of some low grass. The grass is only about 8 inches high. And it's right here. We're standing about 5 feet away from it. And I'm looking for the funnel. Boy, we're getting too close. We're going to scare this girl. Do you see a spider there?
Oh, yeah, Steve, I see her. She's about a foot out from the center, from the funnel, towards you. There's a blade of grass that comes up through the web, mm-hmm. And she's on the other side of that.
Oh, there she is. Perfect pose.
And, oh, there's a grasshopper. So here we've found a funnel web spider. She's out perusing her web for prey, and she's detected a little small grasshopper.
I'm taking a couple of pictures here. Golden is a nice description, the way the sun illuminates her body and her legs. She's really a brown color, but the sun makes her appear golden. And I love the way the legs splay out evenly. you have all eight lakes visible around this stationary golden glowing spider who's just intent on trying to capture something.
The prey is holding really still. It's only about an inch and a half from her. What I'm seeing, Steve, are all these sensory hairs up and down her legs, wow, lit up by the sun to help her detect where the motion is in her web.
I think we've been here long enough that so she's focused on that prey item and not on us. Sudden movement is the thing that most insects are most threatened by, any sudden movement. And as you move slowly, eventually, I think they categorize you as not a predator. I'm about 15 inches away and just peering down at her. It's so nice that she's surrounded by shadow, so the sun is just striking her, and then this little tiny grasshopper that's an inch in front of her. But maybe we should leave her for a while?
Yeah, she will probably...
Now, be slow when we leave, because if we move fast, that will frighten her, even if we're walking away.
Oh, she got it.
She got the grasshopper.
She got the grasshopper.
Well, she let it go, but now she's going after it again. She kind of waited till we left, and then she went after it. That was cool.
Yeah.
If you'd like to go traipsing through the tall grass on these October mornings, I think the most accessible place is the South Boulder Creek State Natural Area, which is off of South Broadway, just north of the El Dorado Springs turnoff. There are acres and acres of tall grass prairie there. Here at Sawhill, the tall grass is sort of in patches right along the southern fence line to the wildlife area. Just look for areas where you can go very quietly wading off through the grass.
And that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I have been your host, Rosanna Longobetter. Special thanks to Stacy Johnson, Steve Miller, Shannon Young, and Shelley Slender for their work on today's program. Stay tuned for Connections just after this news update from the BBC.